This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Is there anxiety that comes with that for someone who would have to deliver that sort of news?
No, because I have faith in our ability to communicate with our guys. And when we do that, I think they'll know that it's in the best interest of the team. And I think as we've moved along here, I think the trust factor is there, that they're in good hands with however we decide to kind of play.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back in on a Sunday morning where wherever you are right now, it's an hour later. But our clocks do the job for us. You go to bed and magical things happen. It's an hour later. Yeah, it's that time of year. You got to set your clocks for it. I'm being totally serious right now. It's 10:03 in Chicago, Illinois, USA, in case you need to know about that. I imagine that there are people of a certain age who don't even know what it means to actually physically move your clock forward. It's probably just like, what's the big deal? I went to bed and yeah, things happened at 2 o'clock in the morning and now life goes on. But yes, hour later today. That was the voice of Bears general manager Ryan Poles talking about Justin Fields. And, you know, the theme from Ryan Poles at the Combine, that's where you just heard that audio from. I was at the Combine, so I got a good read on everything that was going on. The vibe from Poles was, yes, they are going to work to trade Justin Fields. Part of it is that they want to do right by Justin Fields. Well, I believe that's an incredibly wonderful human thing from Ryan Poles. I think that he may have himself into a little bit of a tough spot right now in completely coming through with that in the name of doing what is right for the Chicago Bears as well. So as the legal tampering period opens tomorrow at 11 a.m., that's when deals can be formed with free agents, just by agents in the NFL. And then on Wednesday, everything can be made official, trades can be made official, all of that good stuff. So this is a great time to talk to our guy Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago, who joins us right now on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What up, Schrock and Awe? How you doing this morning, man?
Brody, how are we?
We are doing really well right now. So far, so good. Moving the clock forward 1 hour so far has not hurt me. I think those results will come in at about 2 o'clock today, be my guess. Is that usually when that kind of stuff hits you?
Yeah, I think so. I was pretty stunned this morning, but I'd like to preface this conversation by saying whatever Mark Potash said at 9:20, I completely agree with. Whatever he said, I'm on board.
I will. Oh man, we got Potash rolling about high school basketball right at the end of our segment. So I don't know if you'd be able to go toe to toe with him on that, man. Actually, Schrock, I don't know if you'd want to go toe to toe with him on that.
I opt out.
All right, let's get serious here, man. What anything new that you are hearing about Justin Fields? And part of why I wanted you to come on is because when I was on TV with you the other night, I thought you won the segment that we were talking about Justin Fields in terms of going a little bit deeper maybe than the rest of us on some potential landing spots for Justin Fields.
Yeah, I mean, what I'm hearing right now is the NFL's kind of telling you, Grody, what they think of Justin Fields, and it's that he's not option one, not even option two for a lot of these teams that need a quarterback right now. Cousins will be the first domino to fall. Expect that, obviously, early tomorrow when the tampering period opens. But Cousins, Baker Mayfield, teams, you know, view Sam Darnold, Drew Lock as maybe sure of things. I think Justin's not only inconsistency as a passer, but the durability concerns, the contract situation, it's all kind of working against him. And, I mean, I honestly wouldn't be surprised at this point if we're waiting for a Justin Fields trade for, you know, a week or longer. Like, the dust needs to settle. There's probably a chance that wherever he goes is not technically what Ryan Poles said, right? He wants to do right by him, but he's probably going to end up going to a team where he's either going to be the backup or he's going to be in a quarterback competition. I don't think, unless the Falcons don't get Kirk Cousins, I have a hard time seeing a place where Justin arrives and is automatically the starter.
So Atlanta's it. Atlanta or bust for Justin Fields?
I think so in terms of the starter. I think that Russell Wilson and Pittsburgh make a ton of sense. And then the other teams that definitely need a starter, the Broncos are not interested, the Raiders are not interested, and the Patriots are not interested.
So, was it you that brought up the Cleveland possibility, just thinking outside of the box? Explain that one.
Yeah. So, I think once the dust settles, like, let's assume that Kirk Cousins does get the bag from the Falcons that the Vikings are not willing to give him. I think then now you're looking at teams like the Browns who, look, they gave Deshaun Watson $230 million fully guaranteed. You can't go back on that, but if you're the Browns, you just make the trade for Jerry Jeudy. You have a really good defense. And if you've watched the tape for whatever it's been of Deshaun Watson now, 12, 14 games back, and you're like, man, I don't really see the guy we thought we were trading for, you know, you might trade for Fields, give Watson the start of next year, and if it falls apart, you can go to Fields and then just do what the Broncos did with Wilson, right? You just cut Watson the next offseason, take a massive L on the cap, and at least you have a 25-year-old quarterback who can start. Like, I think the Chicago market has been hard on Justin, but I also think even the people who've been hard on him in this market have been a lot nicer than the rest of the league is being right now. Like, I don't think Justin's as bad as the league is making him out to be. I think he can be a starter. I just think he has a clear ceiling. So I think a team like the Browns makes sense. Maybe the Jets. Like, I know Rodgers said he wants to play 3 or 4 more years. He's also 40 years old coming off an Achilles.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened when the Jets don't have a backup, right? So that's an option. And then there's always the Vikings, Grody. Like, if they lose Kirk Cousins, they don't get Baker Mayfield, and they don't get Sam Darnold, like, the Vikings are kind of an option that looms.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to that point because some of the easy slam dunk things that we were thinking about even when the season was going on aren't necessarily coming to fruition. We're talking to Josh Schrock of NBCSportsChicago.com. I am Mark Grody on The Score. And you mentioned, Josh, in terms of the when part of this deal to get done, I think you said, you know, let the dust settle in a week or longer. I'm interested in the or longer part of that. How much longer do you think that Ryan Poles would let it go before he settled in trading Justin Fields for something maybe like a fourth round pick?
Well, I think third or fourth round pick is honestly probably what the price is going to end up being unless the team gets really weirdly desperate. As far as how long he can wait, I mean, if we're being honest about it, he can wait until they bring Caleb Williams into the locker room with the rest of the team, right?
They can keep him if they want, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't think the Bears could keep him. But I think, theoretically, like, you could wait. You could maybe trade him on, like, during the draft, right? I don't think there's any reason you have to trade him right now if you think there's a better offer coming. I think the issue is that I think the Bears are going to realize once the patience kind of wears out that the better offer is probably not coming. So I think by April, I give it a week or two at most, but I think Justin will get dealt sooner rather than later. I just don't think it's going to be, it's not going to be tomorrow.
Wow. I'm looking at a little bit of breaking news here, Josh, that you and I can both share together here right now from Ian Rappaport, a blue check mark at Rap Sheet sources. The Patriots are trading quarterback Mac Jones to the Jaguars for a late round pick. I didn't see that one coming. I mean, I know that they're not sold on Mac Jones in New England, but as we're all obsessing over Justin Fields and what's Kirk Cousins going to do, here comes Mac Jones, man.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the scuttlebutt at the combine, right? The Patriots are going to probably sign a veteran quarterback, a lot of Jacoby Brissett smoke there, and then draft either Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever falls to three. And I think they want to give Mac Jones a fresh start. And look, Mac was a Pro Bowler his rookie year, and then Bill Belichick did the weird thing where he brought in Matt Patricia and Joe Judge to run the offense, and things kind of went off the rails. So I think a good fresh start for Mac as Trevor Lawrence's backup. But that, once again, that goes to show you, Gordon, like, Justin Fields has not been a Pro Bowler. Like, in theory, like, what Mac Jones showed his rookie year as a passer is probably more than Justin has, and he's going for a late-round pick to be a backup.
Oh, man. Yeah, that definitely absolutely can help to inform of what other NFL teams are thinking. So I guess just be happy with what you get. With the league year opening here this week, legal tampering, Bears splashes, anything that you're expecting, where might the Bears spend money this week?
That's a good question. I think, from what I heard at the combine, the expectation is they're going to be active in the wide receiver market. We know that. I don't know if they're going to go, like, Calvin Ridley makes a lot of sense if they feel like they're not going to, either they're not going to get Roma Dunsir, Malik Nabers at nine, or they plan on trading out of nine. That would make a lot of sense. I think they probably go a little cheaper down the ladder. I think Gabe Davis or Tyler Boyd make a ton of sense as like a number three. And then you try to get your two in the draft. They're going to be active in the running back market. The Saquon Barkley stuff, they've been talking to his agent. I don't know if, you know, if it's $12, $13 million a year, that doesn't really sound like a Ryan Poles move. Like, he comes from the Chiefs where they kind of just cycle through the running backs, whoever's the hot hand, you know, go cheap. You can find it. Does he really want to pay $13 million for 27-year-old Saquon, who's got a ton of tread on the tire, torn off the tires? I don't know. And I do expect them to. I think their big swing will come on defense, Grody. I do. I think they're going to try to make a run at Christian Wilkins. And if not, Danielle Hunter's obviously still in play, because we know the Bears are very infatuated with the idea, at least, of Danielle Hunter and Montez Sweat.
Ooh, yeah, that would look really good. And yeah, Christian Wilkins, if you're not familiar with him, the 28-year-old played in 17 games last year, had 9 sacks, by far his best season. So yeah, that certainly would be a pretty good product.
Makes a lot of sense, right? The Bears have been pounding the table for a three technique, a really game-changing three technique for 2 years now. I know they drafted Jervon Dexter, but I think if you just bring in Christian Wilkins, him next to Montez Sweat, I think that'll make Jervon Dexter better. And then you can go cheap at the other edge, right? A guy like A.J. Epinesa, a local guy who played under Eric Washington, who'll probably come cheap at the other edge, and then you can also supplement in the draft.
I also do like the idea of Calvin Ridley. He is by far the best wide receiver on that board right now, with a lot of guys off of the board now, whether re-signing with their own team or getting franchise tagged in some cases. Yesterday, Jerry Jeudy, the deal was announced that Jerry Jeudy of the Denver Broncos traded to Cleveland for 5th and 6th round picks. And in the name of that, certainly not a direct parallel because of the difference in talent that I'm about to discuss, I want to throw something at you if I could, Mr. Schrock. Let me throw something at you. Get ready here. Prepare yourself.
I'm ready.
Okay, here it is. Terry McLaurin is an excellent wide receiver for the Washington Commanders. 28-year-old. He's 4 straight 1,000-yard seasons, and even in his rookie year, he had 919. He is he signed a 3-year, $71 million extension in July of 2022, worth $28 million. So Terry McLaurin, really good player. Mr. Schrock, you ready for this? Would you trade the Bears' number 9 overall pick for Terry McLaurin?
What's the cap at? $28 million?
Yeah.
No,
just because of the cap hit.
The cap hit, they already have. I mean, the thing that people kind of lose, I think, in the wide receiver talk is DJ Moore is on a really affordable deal that is going to get reworked. Like, his agent, I'm sure, has already been on the phone like, it was awesome to come to Chicago. He had career highs in yards and touchdowns, and the quarterback situation was not even settled. We'd like to make more than $15 million a year, if you don't mind. So I think that number is going to get reworked and go up. And I like the idea of a cheap rookie, number two that can kind of become the one once DJ's, you know, they rework the deal. And then in sort of 4 or 5 years, if DJ leaves, you still have a dude there, Neighbors or whoever.
You think they have to move up to get those guys? That's the sense I'm starting to get. They wanted either Neighbors. Obviously, they'd have to move up to get Marvin Harrison Jr., but would they have to move up to get Odonze or Neighbors, you think?
I mean, I think there's a chance maybe one slides to nine, but I think if they pinpoint a guy, I think there's been a lot of talk about them moving down from nine because of the lack of day two and day three draft capital, but I think there might be a better chance that they move up and just go get their guy because, you know, they're drafting Caleb Williams. In theory, everything that happens starting tomorrow through the draft is about building a winner around Caleb Williams, and I think a great way to do that is to get Odunze or Neighbors to pair with DJ Moore. So I think they're going to have to move up. I think the good news is the Cardinals are open to trading down. The Chargers are open to trading down. So they're going to have options if they want to go that route. And they have the Panthers' second-round pick next year to play with if needed.
You know, you mentioned the idea of pairing a young wide receiver with DJ Moore. What would you do in terms of pairing safeties with Jaquan Brisker at this point? Same idea, cheap option, or do you think they would actually invest?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know what, the NFL's cut $100 million of safeties in the last month, so safety market's kind of going the way of the running back market.
Yeah.
I think they'll probably go cheap veteran, right? I know Ian Rapport reported yesterday they visited with Kevin Byard, which makes sense. You know, they're not going to go with a Justin Simmons, who's probably going to get $13 million a year. I really like Xavier McKinney from the Giants. I mean, he's 25. He can do it all. He's gonna be pricey, but I mean, if you're the Bears, you just kind of look at that as like, hey, he fits our timeline. He'll fit in with this young secondary that we've just really locked in with Jalen Johnson. But I think they go veteran, cheaper, 1-2 year deal. You know, maybe a Quandre Diggs, maybe a Kevin Byard. I don't see them spending heavy in the safety or running back market. They'll spend, but not at the top level, I don't think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, they signed Tavarius Moore. I don't think he's a threat to be a starter. I mean, just based on the resume.
There he is, Brody. He's the starter.
That's it. I mean, really. I mean, maybe that's true, and that would really tell you where the position is if a guy who essentially didn't play last year, and God bless Tavarius Moore, I root for that man, but I just don't know that they signed him to be the starter alongside Jaquan Brisker. And then you have Elijah Hicks remains on the roster, and then there's always the – I don't know if I've ever run this by you, or actually, since we both – at different times work with the former Bears head coach Dave Wanstead, who has said on multiple occasions on the radio, on the record, that he'd like to see Matt Eberflus maybe put somebody like Terrell Smith at the safety spot, or even Tyreek Stevenson. What do you think about that? I mean, that is definitely, hey, we all at companies, Schrock, we all like it when we promote from within. It's a proactive wow. It makes everybody happy. Cake in the break room. But I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, definitely not Stevenson, right? If they move Tyreek Stevenson, who came on really well at the end of the year to safety, I don't know. I might be catatonic. That'd be insane. The Smith thing is interesting. It's an interesting thought process, but I think the Bears have such good depth at corner. And as we saw last year, like that's going to be needed. Like I know people like to ding Jalen for missing a game or two, but like, that's just football. Like you're going to need Terrell Smith. You're probably going to need Jalen Jones. So I like where the cornerback kind of room is. I wouldn't really mess with it. I just think you go, you know, you got Tavarius Moore, get another veteran, and obviously let Jaquan Brisker then kind of be the guy in the safety room. Now, if they choose to pay up for Xavier McKinney, you know, more power to him because he's a really good football player. But like we talked, I think the NFL is basically saying, hey, everyone's, you know, most teams are playing too high, right, with two safeties back like the Bears do. That's causing teams to throw it deep less. We don't really need to pay $13 million for a free safety. We can pay a guy cheap who can play center field and will be good.
Were you surprised that you mentioned Jalen Johnson? Were you surprised that they got a deal done so quickly after putting the franchise tag on him? I was.
Yeah, no, I mean, I expected it to take a while just because, I mean, if you remember, Brody, when he asked for a trade and then didn't get traded, they were like, yeah, we don't even know what the gap is. And then the season ended. They hadn't talked, and Jalen was like, I need to be the highest paid corner. And I was like, man, they're definitely far apart then. So credit to Ryan Poles and Chris Ellison for getting that done quickly. And, you know, I thought it was a really good, really good deal for the Bears. You know, you keep the cap hit at $13 million this year, so it gives you more breathing room. Good guarantees for Jalen, and then you don't overpay, right? He's not at $22, $23 million a year. He's number one in percentage of money guaranteed, which is great for Jalen because that's money in the bank. That's money you can already count. So I thought a win-win for both sides, and I was stunned that it only took less than 48 hours after the tag. But another good deal for Ryan Poles, who I think we found out is a pretty shrewd negotiator and pretty much almost always gets guys at the price point that he sets.
Yeah, I got to say, this feels like after everything between Jalen Johnson and Ryan Poles, if you just want to zero in on those two guys, it's both sides won, man, right? Like, right. No like weird hard feelings. Like Johnson could come in with his head like he got screwed over somehow. It really turned out to be the whole thing. Jalen Johnson betting on himself, the Bears having enough discipline to not just jump right into it, and then Johnson obviously proving himself and everybody. It seems like a perfect deal between these two sides.
Yeah, no, completely agree. And I think another thing it does is, and something you and I have talked about, I think paying a guy like Jalen, who Ryan Poles didn't draft, but who, the Bears, the new regime came in and set benchmarks for him, right? They said, like, hey, if you want to stick around and prove you're the guy, you got to do X, Y, and Z. And Jalen did X, Y, and Z times 10, and they rewarded him. And I think that shows the rest of the locker room, just like the Komet deal did, like, hey, if you do what we ask you to do, we're going to take care of you, whether we drafted you or not. So I think that sends a really positive message to what's really a young locker room outside of a few guys.
Do you do a mock draft? Have you done a mock draft yet? And I apologize if you have.
I've done like three. Yeah.
Okay.
I've done like three, which is far too many. But that's
I know, man. I did. Hey, I've done one, and I couldn't even make it past 15 teams. So I understand. In your latest mock, I mean, I'm assuming you've got Caleb Williams one. What are you thinking with that number 9 pick?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely Caleb Williams at one. I don't think there's any question. Okay. I think that's as close to as done a deal as there can be with no medicals given yet. At 9 right now, I had them trading down to 20 to pick up a second.
Okay.
And taking A.D. Mitchell, the receiver out of Texas.
Hmm.
But I think in the next mock, which will probably come, I don't know, in a week or two, I think I'm going to have them trading up to 5 and getting a Dunze, because I really think that if you're the Bears, you're not planning on picking in the top 10 again, Grody, right? Like, you're taking a guy in Caleb Williams who you think is a franchise changer, and everything that you've done so far this offseason, and I assume starting tomorrow, will point to the window is now. With Caleb on a rookie deal the next 4 years, we're going to try to win. So go get your guy at 5, and if you have to give up, an extra second round pick next year, you got to, just do it, lock it in, and make sure Caleb has everything he needs to succeed. So we're not sitting here near here like, yeah, it was good, but man, could have been better.
Yeah. Brian Baldinger, right? Baldy?
Yeah.
Baldy. You can call him Baldy. I know him, so I call him Baldy. So I'm allowed Baldy. To call him Baldy. Yeah, but yeah, Baldy.
On a first name basis with Baldy. Yeah, good.
After one conversation on the radio with him, it's Baldy. Hey, everybody should. If you're going to a party, who do you bring? Baldy. Who's coming to the party? Baldy. You want Baldy at your party? Yes.
Yeah.
But Baldy said, actually, to the Roma Dunze point, he said that he thinks that Roma Dunze is the best wide receiver in the draft, better than Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah. No, I've heard that from a couple of scouts at the combine too.
Wow.
Heard the Devontae Adams comparison, and a lot of guys said, like, hey, Marvin's really good, but in 2-3 years, a lot of scouts don't think there's a question that Adunze is going to be kind of seen as the number one guy, after a season or two.
Yep, really good kid too, Mr. Schrock.
He's already won three Media Good Guy Awards, Grody. He's not even here yet.
Have we had a back-to-back winner yet for the Jeff Dickerson Good Guy Award? I don't know that we have.
No, I think they normally. Get traded after they win, except for Cole. So,
yeah, good. Hang in there, Cole. Yeah, Eddie Jackson, the latest victim, right?
Yeah, correct. It's a curse.
It's unbelievable, man. Well, I blame you, Schrock. I blame you, and I blame Potsy. So you guys can get together and commiserate if you'd like.
That's fair. We'll do that tomorrow at the press conference at 10.
Oh, that's right. We got a press conference tomorrow. Thanks for reminding me, Schrock.
You got it. That's what I'm here for.
See you, buddy. Bye. There goes Josh Schrock from NBC Sports Chicago. Always love to talk to that guy. When we return, I may as well, since we were just talking about Josh Schrock and his multiple mock drafts, I will tell you about what I have of a mock draft. I definitely can tell you what I have with the Bears. I could bounce around to some other teams as well, but I will share with you my mock draft next. We may even have room for a call if you are moved to do so at 312-644-6767. I'm going to refresh that text screen, see what you guys have been chatting about while I've been yapping here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The Justin Fields thing got even more interesting this morning. We had breaking news today on the quarterback front, and that is Mac Jones, Patriots, traded to the Jaguars for a late round pick. Not late first round, a late round pick. So a sixth or seventh round pick, presumably, for Mac Jones. According to Ian Rappaport, there were four teams that were in the mix and making bids and had some form of desire for Mac Jones. So I think that in the overall, different players, different scenarios, it's bad for Justin Fields when you see something like that. There's no doubt about it. But I suppose the good part or the optimistic part is that there were four teams in the mix for Mac Jones, so there may be teams that we don't even know about that are in the mix for Justin Fields right now. And that certainly was not one that anybody saw coming. And Mac Jones, welcome to the wonderful world of being a backup quarterback. We'll see what it all means for Justin Fields. But not good. Not good. That's for sure. I'm going to give you guys my mock draft, an abbreviated mock draft, specifically to tell you guys more or less of what the Bears are going to do. And I have the Bears making a trade in the first round. I will tell you about that in a second. But I want to take a couple calls first at 312-644-6767. Tony in Homer Glen. Hello, Tony. You're on The Score.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Tony.
I got a scenario here. I know I'm in a minority, but what I would like to see is the Bears drop back to six with the Giants, pick up a ton of draft capital. With that sixth pick, take Neighbors or Dunce. I would definitely go after Saquon Barkley in free agency. With the ninth pick, I would take I would take Brock Bowers. Who is going to stop that offense?
I mean, that well said, man. I appreciate it, Tony. That would be a difficult offense to stop, assuming all those parts were that good. I will tell you what. Well, let me get to my mock draft, because I think, Tony, I think you might like it, because you mentioned one of the names that will feature prominently in my mock. This is my mock. And just so you know, when I put together this mock draft, I did it with zero agenda, as in I didn't find a guy that I want, because I liked this guy and I want to make sure that he's on the Bears. And I have no problem with people doing that. If you got a guy you like and you want to, you know, get him onto your team, and I don't know what people philosophically, how they look at it with these mock drafts, and I think that's all fine, because these are mock drafts and they're really ridiculous at the end of the day. But for whatever it's worth, the mock draft that I have put together was done with zero agenda. I don't even know if I like my mock draft, to be honest with you. So that's the way I did it. I was asked to do it by our digital team at The Score, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. Had a couple days to kind of think about it, and I just sat down and used the information that I have been able to get from the Combine and from my sources and from reading other mock drafts and just all the information that I had. And this is what I came up with for at least 14 teams in the draft, which will get us through the Bears. And I'll kind of go through this quickly. At number one overall, the Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback USC. Number two, I have the Washington Commanders taking North Carolina quarterback Drake May. At number three, and, you know, this looks like a slam dunk at this point, at least quarterback. At number three, the New England Patriots will select Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU. At number four, the Arizona Cardinals, I believe, will select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. At number five overall, Joe Alt to the Chargers, the tackle out of Notre Dame. At number six overall, this is number six is an example of one of the picks I don't think I like, but I think it's plausible. Number six, the New York Giants with the number six overall pick, Michigan quarterback J.J. McCarthy. I don't like it, but that might happen. At number seven overall, the Tennessee Titans will select Malik Nabers. Yeah, there he goes. He goes off the board. At number eight, the Atlanta Falcons will take Washington wide receiver Roma Dunze. At number nine, we have a trade. We have a trade. The Bears move the number nine overall pick to the Raiders at number 13 for a fourth round pick. With that number nine pick, the Raiders take Penn State offensive tackle Olufashinu. At number 10 overall, the Jets go tackle J.C. Latham. At number 11, Dallas Turner, the defensive end from Alabama, going to the Minnesota Vikings. At number 12 overall, the Denver Broncos will select quarterback Bo Nix, which brings us right back to the Bears. At number 13, they do business with the Raiders, and they select Georgia tight end Brock Bowers. Mixed reviews is what I'm feeling in my head right now. Yeah, Brock Bowers is the guy I have the Bears drafting in my first mock, which I will refresh after free agency is close to have being said and done. But that's the direction that I'm going in right now. I think that, look, I understand you already have put a lot of money towards Cole Kmet in that spot, but there is no harm or shame in getting what could be a star tight end. I'm not saying necessarily that Brock Bowers of Georgia, like, automatically he's going to step in and be George Kittle, because that's kind of his comp. He's more Kittle than Gronkowski. I'm not saying that, but it's possible. He's got the talent. I mean, obviously comes out of college a little bit more hot than Cole Kmet did. And if you could lock in that position, if you get two good tight ends as part of this core, there's not a better friend in the world for a young quarterback than two really competent tight ends. And this is an era in which the offenses are finding more and more things to do with those versatile, strong route running and good blocking tight ends like Brock Bowers. So that's where I stand with that. And like I said, like, I not ideal. I mean, like, when I look at the draft, if I had an agenda, if I was doing the agenda style, I'd probably say I would make a move for one of those wide receivers. And a lot of different opinions have made me start to rethink the wide receiver position. Was it just people that I spoke to at the combine, people that you've heard me speak to on the radio, and how they are, like, the Roma Dunze, like, there's a guy who's stock was already high going into the combine, a guy that everybody wanted to see and a guy that everybody wanted to watch. But guess what? He did himself favors. His stock rose at the combine. So he is one of those dudes where people are actually looking at Roma Dunze and saying that he might be the best wide receiver in this draft, even better than Marvin Harrison Jr. Dane Brugler, in his of The Athletic, in his latest mock draft, has the Bears moving up. I don't have all the particulars. Moving up, though, to number five to get Roma Dunze, you know? So, and hey, if there's a move to be made to get to Marvin Harrison Jr., I obviously would not be angry about that either. So, I mean, it's the wide receiver position is something one way or the other the Bears need. You are invested heavily right now in one ace wide receiver, and you need somebody else to pair with him. 312-644-6767 is the number here on the score if you want to jump in on the phones or on the text lines. And I am always available on social media, too, mostly on Twitter, at Mark Grody Sports, would be the way to do that. We need to take a quick break right now. When we come back, you can jump in and we could talk Bears. But also, I actually want to talk about the Chicago Bulls, because they, although they fizzled out in L.A. against the Clippers yesterday in that weird start time, it was a successful 3-1 road trip. I want to talk a little bit about the game yesterday, the big picture, and then the even bigger picture of the Chicago Bulls. So we're going to zoom out next on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Let's get back to more Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
670 The Score gives you and a guest an exclusive opportunity to be in Texas for the Cubs season opener. Be listening for the cue to call on Mullen and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, and Parkins and Spiegel every day this week for your chance to qualify for the Cubs season opener Fly Away, which includes airfare, hotel, and two tickets to the game on March 28th. Once you qualify, you'll need to be listening to Parkins and Spiegel when they announce the winner this Friday, 5 p.m. The winner will then have 30 minutes to call in and claim the grand prize. It's the Cubs season opener Fly Away exclusively right here on The Score. I'm Mark Grody. Welcome back in on a Sunday morning on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Just going through my mock draft where essentially, as Caleb Williams, yes, at number one, but I did have the Bears trading down to 13 with the Raiders for a fourth-round pick. And with the 13th pick and the fourth rounder, the Bears take Brock Bowers, the tight end, out of Georgia. Immediate reaction, 847, oh my God, a tight end? They need to stay where they are and take the best edge or receiver available. Nothing personal. Enjoy listening to you throughout the week. No, it's okay. Hey, you never need to qualify that stuff with me. I understand what we're doing here. You can disagree vehemently with me, just as like I'll try to do with you. I'll try not to be personal, and you try not to be personal. It's okay to disagree. Never, ever, ever need the disclaimer when we are having sports discourse. That's said, you're wrong, you're way out of line. No, I look at the tight end spot as, and again, I went through this draft and I did it as emotionless as I could. I didn't look at Brock Bowers and say, that's my guy. I want two tight ends on the Bears. I want the Bears to have a really expensive tight end room. No, it was classic best player available based on the chart and what I was just anticipating at that moment, which was last week. And I'll do another one soon because things are changing by the minute in terms of free agency and what is going on with other teams that affect what happens in the draft. A couple Brock Bowers thumbs up as well on the text line. Coming through as well. 312-644-6767 is the number. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls did lose to the Clippers yesterday. And I thought essentially that it, like, if you watched the game, and maybe you did because you didn't have to like stay up late. It was on during the day yesterday. There was a Bulls game on yesterday. The Bulls lost that game via turnovers in a couple instances, like where the game turned, in my opinion. Third quarter, the Coby White had back-to-back turnovers, allowed the Clippers to tie the game, and the Bulls had double-digit leads twice in this game. It allowed them to tie the game and then take the lead. And as Stacey King was pointing out, that Coby White at that point kind of had like notes of, as good as he's been, and I'm glad that he's really gotten back on track again lately. Coby White, remember in his first couple of years in the NBA when he was just sort of out of control with his speed? Like his playing couldn't catch up with his speed. His feet were ahead of everything.
Yeah. there's a lot of things that don't bug me. My name has been circulated around more than once from the beginning of my career to now. You know, if I dealt with, you know, I let people's opinions, you know, bug me or influence me, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So, you know, I go out there and keep doing me. Haven't talked to really anybody, but, you know, we'll continue to push forward.
It sucked, man. You know, I was pretty much trying to figure out every way not to, you never want to have surgery. But, you know, I got to a conclusion, you know, especially with what the doctor was telling me was, you know, your pain level, and this thing isn't going to heal on its own. You know, it was a bone that was floating around. It was known as a non-union Jones fracture, which I was dealing with for a while. And once Dr. Anderson, I'm happy I was able to find him. And he told me, you know, you need to get this done sooner than later. So, you know, it was good to know. I don't think there's really anybody else that can have that say. You know, Kobe probably has the most points per game, has jumped field goal percentage, total three-pointers, assist, rebound, you can name it. Everything's up. He's leading the league in minutes, I think, you know, at least it feels like. But, you know, he's been tremendous.
Okay, we had a little technical difficulty. We apologize for that. But as you heard right there, that was the voice of Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine was back with the Bulls, obviously going to be out for the rest of this season, but still there to support the team. Good to see him on the sidelines. Zach LaVine sounding good and probably still going to be traded at some point in time by the Bulls, but that is a drama that will continue to play out. But yeah, getting back to the Bulls game yesterday, it's too bad because you could have been looking at a 4-0 road trip for the Bulls and getting back to 500. Were you even thinking about that? I've just sort of let the Bulls go in terms of that when they just hit that horrible stretch in their season to think, like, this team is not going to get it back together. And here they were yesterday with a chance to get back to 500, but they were not able to do it. The other big moment in the game yesterday, fourth quarter, Harden steals one away from DeRozan. DeRozan scores two free throws. The Clips go up 7 eventually. Or actually, a couple free throws were scored on that Harden play. Then you have back-to-back misses by Vooch and DeRozan, and then Paul George essentially puts the game away. So it was a game that the Bulls had nice leads. It felt like the momentum was on their side, but they were not able to get there. They will host Dallas on Monday. And one of the big picture things that I was thinking about the Bulls too, that I don't know if there is a fan base that, and you got to think about this because it's Chicago sports, so everybody is deserving, and there's been a large amount of angst in each and every organization. But I don't know if there's a fan base that deserves winning, like real winning, more than the Bulls. And I get it. You're like, what about the 90s and all of that stuff? The Bulls continue to be the top attendance team in the NBA. That's number one. And then yesterday I was looking at some like NBA team popularity polls, like for visiting teams internationally, just even within the country. The Bulls constantly show up on those lists as the second most popular team in the NBA by far, like behind the Lakers, by the way. You can't catch Showtime, apparently. And I'm sure the Bulls were number one for a long time. But the fact that those fans still, and some of it's still the legacy and the ghost of Michael Jordan and just wanting to be in the United Center, and it is an event. I do understand that facet of fandom, and I support it because sports is fun and it's an event, and you should be able to go out and just have a cocktail and watch a game if you'd like. But these fans continue to pack that place. The support is immense, and mediocrity is essentially the era which the Chicago Bulls have been going through for a long time now. So it just got me thinking about how loyal that fan base is. Maybe not as boisterous like here on the Score in terms of, you know, what we discuss and all of that, but the Bulls are a big part of it, and they're just sitting there waiting. And I hate to think that the Bulls would maybe even subconsciously take advantage of that in their heads, that they know they're going to fill the place. They know you got the Jordan statue. There are people who still gawk and still want to be in the building. There is, believe it or not, the United Center has in some ways, a Wrigley Field effect, where you get a lot of probably neutral fans and people from out of town that want to check out the United Center, and just people around here who nobody ever turns down a ticket to Bulls games because it's a fun night and it's the Bulls. It's the United Center and it's a place to be. But how long does that continue? And it's been going on a long time. It's been going on since Jordan. And, you know, it's had its moments where it's probably blipped a little bit and let up, you know, right post Michael Jordan, when the Bulls were the most atrocious franchise in the league for a long time. But I just think that at some point in time, there needs to be somebody in the Bulls organization who has a sense of urgency and a promise to win and not just get by. And you know, we're still talking about play-in games. I'm talking about 500 and how great it is. I'm talking about the Bulls having won three in a row coming into that game, and we're all clapping for the Bulls and how neat it is. And it's all great and stuff, but this should not be the bar for the Bulls. And even during what was a positive trip, it just made me think, God, do Bulls fans deserve this kind of success? And it doesn't feel like there is a real pathway to greatness for the Chicago Bulls right now. When we return here on the Sunday Morning Show at 10:58, that's right, 10:58, if you set your clocks forward correctly, it should be 10:58 right now as you're waking up. If you're somewhere else on the Odyssey app right now, just disregard this. It's okay. You're not crazy right now. But 10:58 for you fans of live Odyssey radio here on The Score. When we return, let's talk some baseball, because Matt Spiegel of the Parkins and Spiegel Show is planted in Mesa, Arizona right now. He is getting ready to call the Cubs game with Ron Coomer. So we will talk Cubs baseball and broadcasting with Spiegs next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to more Mark Crotty on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
670 The Score gives you and a guest an exclusive opportunity to be in Texas for the Cubs season opener. Be listening for the cue to call on Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, and Parkins and Spiegel every day this week for your chance to qualify for the Cubs season opener Fly Away, which includes airfare, hotel, and two tickets to the game on March 28th. Once you qualify, you'll need to be listening to Parkins and Spiegel when they announce the winner this Friday, 5 p.m. The winner will then have 30 minutes to call in and claim the grand prize. It's the Cubs season opener Fly Away exclusively right here on The Score. I'm Mark Grody. Welcome back in on a Sunday morning on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Just going through my mock draft, where essentially, as Caleb Williams, yes, at number one, but I did have the Bears trading down to 13 with the Raiders for a fourth-round pick. And with the 13th pick and the fourth-rounder, the Bears take Brock Bowers, the tight end, out of Georgia. Immediate reaction, 847, oh my God, a tight end? They need to stay where they are and take the best edge or receiver available. Nothing personal. Enjoy listening to you throughout the week. No, it's okay. Hey, you never need to qualify that stuff with me. I understand what we're doing here. You can disagree vehemently with me, just as like I'll try to do with you. I try not to be personal, and you try not to be personal. It's okay to disagree. Never, ever, ever need the disclaimer when we are having sports discourse. That's Ed, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're way out of line. No, I look at the tight end spot as, and again, I went through this draft and I did it as emotionless as I could. I didn't look at Brock Bowers and say, that's my guy. I want two tight ends on the Bears. I want the Bears to have a really expensive tight end room. No, it was classic best player available based on the chart and what I was just anticipating at that moment, which was last week. And I'll do another one soon because things are changing by the minute in terms of free agency and what is going on with other teams that affect what happens in the draft. A couple Brock Bowers thumbs up as well on the text line coming through as well. 312-644-6767 is the number. We'll talk more about that in just a second. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls did lose to the Clippers yesterday. And I thought essentially that it, like, if you watched the game, and maybe you did because you didn't have to, like, stay up late. It was on during the day yesterday. There was a Bulls game on yesterday. The Bulls lost that game via turnovers in a couple instances, like, where the game turned, in my opinion. Third quarter, the Coby White had back-to-back turnovers, allowed the Clippers to tie the game, and the Bulls had double-digit leads twice in this game. It allowed them to tie the game and then take the lead. And as Stacey King was pointing out, that Coby White at that point kind of had, like, notes of, as good as he's been, and I'm glad that he's really gotten back on track again lately. Coby White, remember in his first couple of years in the NBA when he was just sort of out of control with his speed? Like, his playing couldn't catch up with his speed. His feet were ahead of everything.
There's a lot of things that don't bug me. My name has been circulated around more than once from the beginning of my career to now. If I dealt with, you know, I let people's opinions, you know, bug me or influence me, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. So, you know, I go out there and keep doing me. Haven't talked to really anybody, but, you know, we'll continue to push forward.
It sucked, man. You know, I was pretty much trying to figure out every way not to, you never want to have surgery. You know, I got to a conclusion, you know, especially with what the doctor was telling me was, you know, your pain level, and this thing isn't going to heal on its own. It was a bone that was floating around. It was known as a non-union Jones fracture, which I was dealing with for a while. And once the Dr. Anderson, I'm happy I was able to find him. And he told me, you know, you need it done sooner than later. So, you know, it was good enough. I don't think there's really anybody else that can have that say. You know, Kobe probably has the most points per game, has jumped field goal percentage, total three-pointers, assists, rebounds, you can name it. Everything's up. He's leading the league in minutes, I think, you know, at least it feels like. But, you know, he's been tremendous.
Okay, we had a little technical difficulty. We apologize for that. But as you heard right there, that was the voice of Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine was back with the Bulls, obviously going to be out for the rest of this season, but still there to support the team. Good to see him on the sidelines. Zach LaVine sounding good and probably still going to be traded at some point in time by the Bulls, but that is a drama that will continue to play out. But yeah, getting back to the Bulls game yesterday, it's too bad because you could have been looking at a 4-0 road trip for the Bulls and getting back to 500. Were you even thinking about that? I've just sort of let the Bulls go in terms of that when they just hit that horrible stretch in their season to think, like, this team is not going to get it back together. And here they were yesterday with a chance to get back to 500, but they were not able to do it. The other big moment in the game yesterday, fourth quarter, Harden steals one away from DeRozan. DeRozan scores two free throws. The Clips go up 7. Eventually, or actually a couple free throws were scored on that Harden play. Then you have back-to-back misses by Vooch and DeRozan, and then Paul George essentially puts the game away. So it was a game that the Bulls had nice leads. It felt like the momentum was on their side, but they were not able to get there. They will host Dallas on Monday. And one of the big picture things that I was thinking about the Bulls, too, that I don't know if there is a fan base that, and you got to think about this because it's Chicago sports, so everybody is deserving, and there's been a large amount of angst in each and every organization. But I don't know if there's a fan base that deserves winning, like real winning, more than the Bulls. And I get it. You're like, what about the 90s and all of that stuff? The Bulls continue to be the top attendance team in the NBA. That's number one. And then yesterday I was looking at some like NBA team popularity polls, like for visiting teams internationally, just even within the country. The Bulls constantly show up on those lists as the second most popular team in the NBA by far, like behind the Lakers, by the way. You can't catch Showtime, apparently. And I'm sure the Bulls were number one for a long time. But the fact that those fans still, and some of it's still the legacy and the ghost of Michael Jordan and just wanting to be in the United Center, it is an event. I do understand that facet of fandom, and I support it because sports is fun and it's an event, and you should be able to go out and just have a cocktail and watch a game if you'd like. But these fans continue to pack that place. The support is immense. And mediocrity is essentially the era which the Chicago Bulls have been going through for a long time now. So it just got me thinking about how loyal that fan base is. Maybe not as boisterous like here on the Score in terms of, you know, what we discuss and all of that, but the Bulls are a big part of it. And they're just sitting there waiting. And I hate to think that the Bulls would maybe even subconsciously take advantage of that in their heads, that they know they're going to fill the place. They know you got the Jordan statue. There are people who still gawk and still want to be in the building. There is, believe it or not, the United Center has in some ways a Wrigley Field effect, where you get a lot of probably neutral fans and people from out of town that want to check out the United Center, and just people around here who nobody ever turns down a ticket to Bulls games because it's a fun night and it's the Bulls. It's the United Center and it's a place to be. But how long does that continue? And it's been going on a long time. It's been going on since Jordan. And, you know, it's had its moments where it's probably blipped a little bit and let up, you know, right post Michael Jordan, when the Bulls were the most atrocious franchise in the league for a long time. But I just think that at some point in time, there needs to be somebody in the Bulls organization who has a sense of urgency and a promise to win and not just get by. And you know, we're still talking about play-in games. I'm talking about 500 and how great it is. I'm talking about the Bulls having won three in a row coming into that game, and we're all clapping for the Bulls and how neat it is. And it's all great and stuff, but this should not be the bar for the Bulls. And even during what was a positive trip, it just made me think, God, do Bulls fans deserve this kind of success? And it doesn't feel like there is a real pathway to greatness for the Chicago Bulls right now. When we return here on the Sunday Morning Show at 10:58, that's right, 10:58, if you set your clocks forward correctly, it should be 10:58 right now as you're waking up. If you're somewhere else on the Odyssey app right now, just disregard this. It's okay. You're not crazy right now. But 10:58 for you fans of live Odyssey radio here on the Score. When we return, let's talk some baseball, because Matt Spiegel of the Parkinson Spiegel Show is planted in Mesa, Arizona right now. He is getting ready to call the Cubs game with Ron Coomer. So we will talk Cubs baseball and broadcasting with Spiegs next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.